This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. The week's just getting started. So we're going to talk a few about the economy, keeping the big deal as much as we possibly can. The economy, inflation, immigration, things like that. We're going to touch on this FBI Secret Service Thomas Crook stuff this hour. I'm going to get to some emails, why people aren't going to the movies, gunfighting with Haitian gangsters, and so much more coming up. And I have the hiccups in case you can't tell. And so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, this one, this new poll came out. Americans over 50 largely view the economy as fairly good, while Americans between 18 and 49 say it's from fairly bad to very bad. Over 50, you think the economy's fine. Under 50, not so much. Before we get into the administration and things they're saying and what they're doing, the good and the bad and everything else, let's just address a couple reasons for this. One, let's just go to the basic reason. When you've hit 50, nothing's universal, but generally, you're making pretty decent money, probably the most money you'll ever make. That's your last 10, 20 years of employment when you've been promoted enough times or got your business going for long enough that that's generally the time where you have the most amount of money coming in. So let's set that obvious point on it aside. When you're 18, you think the economy sucks and everything sucks because you have an entry-level job, you're barely making ends meet, and that just you look around and say, I have no hope. When you're over 50, not so much. So that's part of it. Another part of it that goes along with that is the idea of investing in whatever way you invest. And I'm not some investment expert. I do the same thing you probably do. I send it to someone and say, invest it and don't lose all my money. I'm not stocks and bonds. The only thing I trust is gold and land and real estate. You know that, but I do invest. But you have a 401k, something like that. Again, similar to the argument we just had, I started a Roth IRA when I was 19 years old, maybe younger, 18 or 19 years old. I believe I started it with $200. You don't have any money. I didn't have any money. And I had saved for that. Hey, invest this for me. Well, when you're pulling up your Roth IRA on your phone and it reads $226, you think to yourself, man, I'm broke. But then by the time you're 50, after a lifetime of socking away 5-10%, if life works out that way for you, and you pull it up and it's worth $500,000, you think to yourself, okay, well, I guess we're okay. Made some money this year. Hopefully be able to retire. You know. So there's those two things. Let's set those aside. A part of why it's such a struggle right now for so many people is the economy, the world economy, but we'll make it about America. The world's economy is having a change similar to the Industrial Revolution type change. And the sad part about that is when it comes to technological progress, it's virtually impossible to stop it. For instance, here's a great example. Long-haul trucking. I adore it. I've always been fascinated by it. And when I say I adore it, I just love truckers. I've always gotten along with truckers. I respect what they do. It's a grind. The nation runs on it. So many small businesses, by the way, where you work and buy a truck. You have a truck and that's your business. And you work in it. You live in it half the time. So anyway, truckers. Really cool profession. The ones who are here legally anyway. Really cool profession. What if tonight I invented a long-haul truck that did not need a human being. It had, let's say, Elon Musk's Tesla-level technology that it would self-drive all over the country safely, would never get in a wreck, and would simply deliver the goods and services on time without ever needing to sleep. Because remember, it would be just a robot, a program. Now, this isn't out there yet, but you understand what I mean. What if I took out the need for a human being, technologically? Well, on a macro level for a country, for an economy, that would probably be good, right? Except now you have all these wonderful truckers that are out of freaking work, so how would it be good? How would it be good to take all these wonderful, hardworking Americans and eliminate their job? Now, that was a very simplistic version. Don't worry, truckers, that technology doesn't exist yet, and I hope it doesn't ever exist. I don't want your livelihood to go away, but as technology is improving so rapidly now, with AI and so many other things, younger people are walking into an economy that is changing so rapidly that if they've been making the right decisions and putting themselves on the right career path, sometimes even then, after, quote, doing everything right, you're running into roadblocks. Wait, you told me to be an engineer. You told me to be an electrical engineer, and that if I was an electrical engineer, I would make good money. I've been out of work. I graduated 6 months ago. I can't even get a phone call back. This economy sucks. I don't have really inspirational words right now, mainly because I don't know where this is going. All I can do is look back historically at times where there's been huge technological leaps forward. And while overall, if you look at the course of human events, it's been beneficial for mankind, the truth is that the people who had to live through those transitional periods had all kinds of suffering and hardship, and it was completely out of their control. If you're one of those truckers, maybe right now you're cruising down the highway listening to my voice, and God forbid that technology, what if it did drop tomorrow? It's not going to, you're fine. But what if it did drop tomorrow? What do? You're 45 years old. You worked your fingers to the bone to get a truck. Now you have your own truck and you finally have some good money coming in. You're not wealthy, but you're making a good living. And now you're what? Well, now you're unemployed. Now you're on unemployment. Got your own SNAP benefits. What's your resume say? Well, I'm a trucker. That's my skill. It's the skill I've been developing to make a living my whole life. Now, apparently, that's on the outs. That's a devastating period of time to go through. And I think we're in either the beginning, the middle, or the end. I don't think it's the end. I think we're either in the beginning or the middle of one of those transition periods right now for a variety of reasons. There's all kinds of reasons where it's going to be a struggle, especially for younger people who aren't established, but not just younger people, older people too, where their position just isn't needed anymore, and where the boss looks at their salary and looks at their need, and he decides their baggage outweighs the talent. It's a terrible place to be. And we hope it will get better. And Scott Bessent, he's on the news, and he's saying, hey, bright things are coming.
I think we are going to see a substantial acceleration in the economy in the second quarter. The increase in real incomes, I think Americans are going to feel it in the first quarter, second quarter. I think 2026, thanks to President Trump's signature plans, is going to be a great year for working Americans, for the markets.
Okay. We don't know. Look, Scott Bessent's obviously a straight shooter, a very good communicator. I think he's been wonderful for the Trump administration. Neither of us know whether or not he's just being a good messenger for the administration and throwing out some hopeful thinking, or whether he really thinks that. He's a guy sharp enough to maybe look at things and say, boy, I could really see it increasing. So maybe it is about to get better. And he says, hey, these jobs, people are clamoring for jobs. I know you can't find a job, but this job creation's just getting going.
What does the Treasury Department and the dollar itself in your job have to do with lessening job insecurity in this country.
Well, I think what President Trump's doing in terms of bringing back high-paying percentage of manufacturing jobs to the U.S. is all about job security.
How many jobs have come back?
Sorry, that it's just starting.
All right, so we haven't brought back a bunch yet, or else he would have said that, but he said it's just starting. Maybe, hopefully, like the deportation stuff, which has the machine has to be built, maybe we're about to go gangbusters next year. And maybe we're not. I'm not here to carry water for the administration or anyone else, but maybe it's about to get better. Maybe they're going to help us through this transition. All that said, we do have to discuss something about why people feel the economy is not working for them. Before we get to that specific thing and then this assassin and emails and other stuff, you know you don't have to live with pain. It is the holiday season. You know that Relief Factor, it is a supplement. You know it's drug-free. And you know, as I've told you before, it works better the longer you take it. You know, if you're taking it for a day, you may not see much of a difference, but it builds and builds and builds. Soon your pain is just gone. Your back doesn't hurt anymore. Your legs, soon it's just gone. What if you could give yourself the ultimate Christmas gift? Why don't you start now and maybe wake up on Christmas morning and your hand doesn't hurt anymore? Why don't you just try it 3 weeks? If you don't feel better after 3 weeks, just don't call them back. All you're out is the $19.95 you spent the first time. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So we were talking about the economy, and I want to drive this home because of something else that they're about to try to push out, okay? I'm going to drive home something that I can lose sight of and you can lose sight of. We talked about it last week. I'm just going to keep reminding you and myself. I'm trying to remind me about this going into the midterms. Because we are insiders. You're an insider. I'm an insider. You're someone who pays attention. You know the issues. You know the players. You know the game. You are going to be in a bubble of your own creation, just like I am. We're in the same bubble. We're trapped in a bubble together. But it's not people like us who decide elections. We help win on behalf of our side, no question, but our votes, your vote and my vote, did not put Donald Trump in the White House. You were already going to vote for Donald Trump. So was I. It's the normies out there who don't pay attention, who aren't insiders. They don't know the news. They don't even know really what's important. They are the ones who decide elections. Donald Trump is in the White House instead of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris because inflation ran out of control during Joe Biden's 4 years and because immigration went out of control during Joe Biden's 4 years. Of course, that was the Democrats' fault, so that they earned all that, but it doesn't matter. Donald Trump is in the White House because of inflation and immigration. Insiders like me and insiders like you, we hate that. I know I do. You know what I want to say to you? No, he's not. Donald Trump's in the White House because America got tired of the FBI. No, they didn't. No, they're tired of the FBI. The FBI poll numbers have gone down, but that's not why Donald Trump's in the White House. Not at all. That issue did not drive people to the polls. Something you might say, or I might say, no. Election integrity is why he's in the White House, because we need it and the people want it. That's a friggin' lie. I know that Democrats cheat in every election every chance they get. You know Democrats cheat in every election and every chance they get. You know how important that issue is. Normie doesn't know that. Norm and Norma have no idea. If I bring up election integrity or Democrats stealing elections to my Normie friends, I can tell. They're almost patting me on my balding head. Oh, okay, tinfoil guy, sure thing. If I actually laid out the facts to them, they'd be mortified, but they don't know. Donald Trump is in the White House because during Joe Biden's presidency, the American people watched their buying power disappear. They watched their credit card bills go through the roof. Their buying power disappeared to the point they had to take second jobs. And that buying power has not returned. Inflation delivered the White House to Donald Trump as much as any rally he ever did. The American people in a short span watched their buying power disappear, and they want that buying power back. Every poll shows it. I just read you the economic numbers. Younger people especially think it's bad to very bad. The American people's buying power has not returned. Now, how do we get inflation? Why do we get inflation? Where's it come from? Do you do it? Nope, you have no power over it at all. Neither do I. Inflation comes from government spending and printing of money, period. That's where it comes from. We have this insane inflation because they won't stop spending, they won't stop printing. So what do we do with this?
We're going to issue a dividend to our middle-income people and lower-income people of about $2,000. And we're going to use the remaining tariffs to lower our debt. We're going to be lowering our debt, which is a national security thing.
$2,000? To everyone making under $100,000. So I'm just going to set aside the class war warfare part of that, which ticks me off even more. But I'm not even going to talk about that right now. We're going to cut $2,000 stimmy checks. Whether or not we keep the White House in 2028 will not be decided by whether or not you get a $2,000 stimmy check. It'll be decided by whether or not Norm and Norma feel like their buying power has returned to them. We're just going to how much is that bill going to be? I mean, Scott Bessent tried to sell it as best he could.
The $2,000 dividend could come in lots of forms and lots of ways, George. You know, it could be just the tax decreases that we are seeing on the president's agenda. You know, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, deductibility of auto loans. So, you know, those are substantial deductions that, you know, are being financed in the tax bill.
Okay. Look, if we're talking just some tax cuts for you, fine, I'm all in. If we're talking another $1 trillion bill where we hand out $2,000 checks, that's going to lose us the White House in 2028 because inflation's going to go out of control again. It's the fact. All right, let's talk about this. You know, let's do a couple emails and we'll talk about this assassination. Before we do that, I have told you again and again and again, and I'm going to have to stop saying it soon, that Legacy Box, you already know what they do. They digitize your home movies. They digitize your hard copy pictures. You get them forever. They're on the cloud. They're on a zip drive forever. You don't have to worry about floods, fires. You already know all that. You know that this is a wonderful family company in Tennessee. I'm not asking you to send your stuff to Cambodia, Tennessee. They'll hand digitize it and send it back. Did you know you can have it back by Christmas time if you get it in soon? This is the greatest Christmas gift you will ever give your mother, your father, your wife, your husband. This is the greatest gift. We're talking something that they're going to cry when they watch it. Do this for the ones you love the most. I promise it means more than the next Amazon gift card. Go to legacybox.com/Jesse. It's Christmas time. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Do not forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's do some emails. I haven't done like any tonight. Jesse, thanks for the info about the influencer game. That kind of info was critical to being a savvy digital consumer. It reminds me of a Facebook post that made the rounds during COVID. It was around the same time as Biden's epidemic we have is of the unvaccinated speech. Started seeing a bunch of people copying and pasting it, so on and so forth. Yeah, look, that's not the last conversation we're going to have about propaganda campaigns, influence campaigns that are happening all the time, especially on social media. Media and social media for a variety of different reasons with a variety of different interests. It might just be basic sales interests, political interests, one nation's interest versus this nation's interest. There are all kinds of different reasons. And by the way, they're all not dark and dirty. It's not all Russian intelligence. It's sometimes, like I said, it's selling cookies or something like that. There are all kinds of influencer operations happening at all times. We have to be sifters of information. We have to be people of discernment. And there's another aspect of this I did not mention that I'll throw in next time. On top of the people getting paid for a specific opinion, I read you the message. I was just offered money. It's not the first time either. Hey, I have firms I'm working with. They love to work with influencers. Are you interested in that? What that means is there are large companies, PR companies essentially, they want to come pay you to have a specific opinion about something. Hey, Jesse, here's $5,000. We want you to say that Oreos are delicious. Can you put up a tweet and something on Instagram saying Oreos are delicious? Now, my opinions are not for sale. I have bad opinions for free, so you don't have to worry about that. But the other aspect of this I didn't mention before that you should probably be aware of, and Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey are much better about technological stuff than I am, but the concept of bots. Have you ever heard of a bot? I'll just explain it this way as a person who doesn't know technology. It's not a human being. It's a fake account. And so you'll have maybe one guy, one woman, maybe not even here in China, in India, who knows, somewhere. You'll have one guy operating 50 different Twitter accounts. He's part of the same paid influencer campaign. So I get on there and I say, yeah, I love Oreos. Oreos are the best. And then you, unsuspecting normal person, look at the replies and there's all these replies. Yeah, man, I can't wait. Oreo for life, baby. Oreo, woo. Except you just read 75 replies and 65 of them are not even human beings. They're bots that are created for this purpose. Again, just be sifters of information. All information, especially information you really, really, really want to be true. I am so guilty of this, and I know you probably are too. This is what makes me pause. When I read something and I go, oh, nice, that immediately freaks me out. Hold on. Is this even real? I'll send it to Chris. I'll send it to Corey. Did you see this? And multiple times they have come to me, because they dig, and they said, it's a little manipulated. It's a little off. It's a little old. It's just be sifters of information. All right. Now, speaking of sifting information, remember when someone shot Donald Trump in the head and killed Corey Comparator, the man who was there with his family? You remember that? Well, I'm not going to name him because I don't do it, although his name's already out there. But Christopher Wray had a deputy. His name is Paul Obate, I believe is how you say it. He told Congress that the guy's social media account, he had, it appeared to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes, to espouse political violence and describe as extreme in nature. So Ray's FBI said, essentially tried to call the guy some Nazi, a right-winger, something like that. Except now we know that was all a lie. Why? Well, it was a lie by omission. He left out a huge part of this guy's online presence. Essentially, it looks like this guy went from being a very confused right-winger to being a very confused and very violent left-winger. and he started getting rabidly anti-Trump, very, very violent, and then went dark. Although dark meant he still had accounts on YouTube, Snapchat, Venmo, Zelle, GroupMe, Discord, Google Play, Quizlet, Chess.com, what a nerd, and Quora. So he turned into a violent left-wing communist, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation hid that fact from Congress to try to make him look like a right-winger. Add in the fact that we still don't know hardly anything about this guy. This Donald Trump dies that day on camera. You watch it. If he doesn't turn his head at the exact moment to point out an immigration chart that Senator Ron Johnson had given to him. Senator Ron Johnson, one of the few really good senators, by the way. Anyway, if Trump doesn't turn his head at that exact moment, he dies. Where are we right now? What is the date today? November 17th, 2025. Where are we as a country? Where are we if Donald Trump gets his brains blown out in that moment? And a young, relatively untrained assassin gains access to the event, with a weapon, gets onto a rooftop that should have been secured, and makes the shot. We talked about this before. We call him a failed assassin. And I don't necessarily think that's right. He did everything right. He reconned it. He got up on that rooftop with his weapon, a functional weapon. He lined up the shot. And he made the shot. Now, look, nothing you can do if the guy's going to turn his head the split second your finger touches the trigger. But he did not fail. We were blessed by God that day to not watch Donald Trump die. The assassin did not fail. And the FBI is doing what about it? I'll tell you what they're not doing. They're not being very forthcoming. I don't know about you. I'm not drowning in information here. Secret Service is not being very forthcoming. What's the scale of possibilities here? You know what they are. Do I have to lay them out for you? I might as well. The scale of possibilities on the good end, the best case scenario is the FBI, Secret Service, and of course, local law enforcement, they were there too, were embarrassingly bad at their jobs, and now they're embarrassingly bad with the follow-up. That's the worst case scenario. Another case scenario is they were really bad at their jobs, but they're decent at the follow-up and they're trying to cover up how bad they were at their jobs. The worst case scenario is they were part of it. Look, they cremated his body 5 minutes after they pulled his blown out skull off the roof. They grabbed a hose and hosed down the roof right away. A man was taking pictures and told local law enforcement to send him all the pictures they had taken. We got his number. Well, Senator Ron Johnson did. It turned out the man was an ATF agent. Senator Ron Johnson reached out and said, "Hey, what's up?" And the guy said, "Call my lawyer." It looks bad, really bad. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, a couple things before we get to the headlines I didn't get to. This is a story, it's from a while ago, but it came up again in my house over the weekend, so I wanted to bring it up, that movie theaters are trying everything to bring audiences back. Audiences are not returning to the movies. People don't want to go. I'm in one of these weird situations. You remember I told you my dad hated fun? He was just not big on fun. Even music. It's not really. No, turn it off. We'll ride in silence. My dad was not a movie guy. I think probably in response to this, I became a movie freak. There was nothing I loved more as a kid than to go to the movies with my family. But it was something I can remember two. There were probably more, but I can remember two family movies where we went to the theater as a family when I was a kid. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and Jurassic Park, by the way, in case you're wondering what the two are. There were probably more, but there weren't many more, right? I remember two. So as I got older, I started going to the movies every chance I got. And not to sound like your grandpa, but you could go to a matinee movie in my hometown for $4. $4, even when you're young and poor, you got $4 for a movie. You dig through your change, you got $4 for a movie. Even especially if you're not eating, sneak in some snacks. We all know how we did it. $4. It's $100 to go to the movies now. You know I'm right. It's $100. We try to go to matinees when we go, but even then, if you're getting popcorn, a Coke, something, candy, you're spending $80 to $100 at the movie theater now. And when you combine it, it's a dangerous combination for the movies. When you combine it with the second part, and that's all the dirty commie filth Hollywood puts in the movies. Things that you did not have to worry about in earlier years. That when I was a child, yes, parents had to worry about, an inappropriate scene that's more adult-themed. You had to worry about violence. You had to worry about language, but those things were very clearly laid out on there. This was at a time before they were trying to shoehorn every lesbian into the country into a movie somehow. How do we make this is about racism somehow? How do we make it immediately you're mortified? And they'll do it for kids' movies. Now, I told you, I think the last kids' movie we went to see was that DC Pets, Super Pets, whatever. It sucked anyway. Don't go watch it. It was a cartoon movie, and I think it was 10 minutes in, and of course, there's a couple lesbians in the friggin' park. Well, now you just dropped $100, and now you're ready to go. And I don't know how you handle these things, but the second I get the DEI commie garbage, the climate, man's burning it down, I want to leave. Ob won't even start TV shows with me for the most part now, because she knows we could be 6 episodes in. If I get it, the second I get the tranny character, I'm gone. I can't do it. Chris, you the same way? You what? Chris said you already paid for the movie. Well, if I don't physically walk out of the movie theater, which I've done before, I will be mentally checked out. That's one. Two, here's your problem. Here's the problem with this, Chris. I paid for the movie. That's a good point. I paid for the movie. But I've already paid the money. What happens from here is inconsequential because I'm never getting the money back. The $100, we'll call it $100. The $100 is gone, right? We can both agree on that. They're not going to give me my money back. I'm not going to be that guy. The $100 is gone. Now I can be $100 less while being miserable for 2 hours, or I can be $100 less and only be miserable for 1 hour, then I'll spend the next hour doing something I want to do. I'm $100 less no matter what. I know you paid for the experience, Chris, and I'm sorry. I realize I knew this was going to hit close to home for you. I know you already paid money. I understand that. But it's gone, buddy. If the experience is bad, if I pay $100 to get a haircut, and I walk in and she starts slapping me in the face and cutting my ears with the clippers, I'm not going to stay till the haircut is done because I already paid. That's simply not going to happen at all. The money's gone, but let it go, Chris. Let it go. This is why, Chris, have you tried Meow Greens yet? I know you have a cat, all right? Everyone knows, but well, now everyone knows. Jewish producer Chris has a cat and not a dog. I just want to tell everybody, you know that Ruff Greens is the number one dog supplement in America. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. Your dog will finally get vitamins and minerals and actual nutrition. That's how Ruff Greens works. your dog will live longer, better breath, better coat, better energy, just a better dog. What a lot of people don't know is that they also have meow greens for your cat. Same thing with your cat. You want a healthier cat that lives longer, if that's the kind of thing you want, go to roughgreens.com, use the promo code Jesse, get you a free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. I still can't believe this.
It doesn't take long for me to pick up on this. People are obsessed with Trump. They're fixated. They're hyper-fixated on Trump. And they talk about some of the features of this disorder. They can't sleep. They feel traumatized by Mr. Trump. They feel restless. I had one patient who said she couldn't enjoy a vacation because anytime she saw Trump in the news or on her device, she felt triggered. So this is a profound pathology, and I would even go so far as to call it the defining pathology of our time.
Communists have mentally broken their followers. That's why you saw so many of them celebrate after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. That's why they didn't change the rhetoric after Donald Trump got shot in the head. They really believe this stuff, and they're not sorry.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Marines forced into gunfight with gang members outside the U.S. Embassy in Haiti. I swear on my life I would re-enlist tomorrow if I knew I was going to get to go gunfight with gang members in Haiti. I am so insanely jealous of these devil dogs. Gosh, that's awesome. Man charged after suspected fake Navy admiral at Landundo Remembrance event. Why are all these words so hard to say? Whatever. I've always kind of thought it was hilarious when people do the stolen valor thing because it never, ever, ever works. It never works. There's always some uniform expert there who can spot a phony a mile away. Just be honest about what you did or didn't do. Plus, I mean, it's the Navy. Graham Plattner calls to stack the Supreme Court and impeach at least two sitting justices. A reminder, we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. The older, more moderate Democrats are retiring or being pushed out, and this new crop is going to be a whole other thing entirely. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.